talking, but we're going to roll the slides, and there's no music, so you're it, all right?
Okay. Come on, team.
Come on up here.
I don't think.
Oh, yeah, you do. They might record you. This may be for posterity.
Well, whatever.
All right.
Okay. Good morning, church. Where's Jess? Okay, Jess and I co-led this team together, and I just first want to state that she was an amazing co-leader, and she was able to pull it together and with the families, and she did most of the all the hard legwork on this trip. And may I also state, as a leader on the team, she spiritually led us in amazing places, and it was a wonderful trip. And I love you, Jess. Just say it. Okay. All right. Okay. So for this trip, we chose to take families this time, and that's the first time I've been on an actual family trip versus just taking a bunch of adults or taking youth. And it was pretty awesome, and I don't know what's behind us, and we'll explain those after I share this. We originally had 15 team members, and at the last minute, y'all know that Scott fell and broke his collarbone, so Jess's son was not able to physically go with us. We kept him a part of the whole team, and Jess was obviously very faithful in keeping him updated. He was part of our team, he just physically wasn't able to be with us. We had, I don't remember what we said, 5 family units, I believe. 6 family units, don't forget anybody, Cindy. Okay. What I said to Pastor when I came back, I've been on a lot of mission trips, and I am so grateful that God has called me to that and that I've been able to serve in that way. But this was a really unique trip. I've never worked so hard physically in my entire life, but the relationships and the spiritual oneness that we had, there was another team that came from Georgia that connected with us. There was 4 on that team, and they just became part of our team. And it is as if we had prepared together for an entire year. You would never know they were people that we just met. And they had crisis on the team, and we were able to be a support to them and to pray with them and be a part of them, and it was pretty awesome, guys, let me just say. Okay, so what we did is, one, we did Bible school for the community. Now let me explain the church's mission. It's through the Anglican Church in the Dominican, and the bishop assigns where pastors are going to serve. And the pastor wanted there was no representation in this place called Monte Christi. So he assigned a beautiful lady pastor woman. What was her name? Pastor Daisy. And assigned her, but her heart was, let's reach the children first. I'm talking the children. And as we reach the children with the gospel of Christ, and we love on them, their families will follow. What a model. Oh, my word, what a model. And so we, being able to serve the children, was pretty amazing. Now, the people that put the Bible school together was Tracy and Dawn. Looking at your husband. Okay. The 3 of them coordinated Bible school. Jess and I, and all my lands, did they ever do an amazing job? The children came in, the children were served, the children learned about Jesus, and they brought their parents and their families for a celebration. So ladies, thank you. You, I must add. And they did a beautiful job, and they were more than able. So they might be called again to do that. I at least wanted to go over a few points. The second thing was the construction. I just might state. But we worked like we've never worked in our lives. Kids, all my lands. My lands. Of course they could work circles around. Said this needs done, and it was done, and it was awesome. Now I'm of basically pastors and people that learned how to do the job, but they taught these men in the first couple days. They were, by the end of the week, Pedro had it. Yep. I mean, he just, and it was so awesome, again relationally, that at the beginning, but by the end, they had these men being, so we did, was it cement or, I don't know what it was. Tell them what we did on the floor.
Really, I mean, honestly, we probably put, I'm going to be much concrete on the thick spots and more like that much concrete on the thin spot, because we mixed it all by hand. Everything was mixed on the ground, right outside the building. It was mixed up, wheeled in, everything was done by hand. There was no machines. There was no big, a wooden trowel this big, smoothed off, and then he did the final finish on it, and he took handfuls of, sure that if you had a good light, you could see yourself in the floor. And if I may tell a quick, tiny little story, we did a floor, and the lady was moving her stuff back in on her new floor and a broom and mopping her new floor. And it was on someone who had lived on dirt her whole life. I mean, it was just dirt. It was absolutely amazing.
It was. And I mean, you know, you've been, so just think of the animals and the feces and everything that happened. Changing their lives, getting a cement floor. It's night and day. And in a cross of some sort, you know, two sticks on the outside of their home. So we literally changed the lives of 9 families. Okay, the other thing we built was we were working on the chapel. Okay, that we have /church/Bible school/community center. And partially up. There you go. There's our,
that was an open space.
Right, work altogether. That in that location. We just went and did more floors. But, yeah, and that stuff was heavy, guys. I did none of it. But that stuff there to finish the job. We do ask very seriously for prayer from the, according to our contact, one of the poorest sectors to get these jobs to do in between. I'm telling you what, there's a story in the Bible. You were in tears almost to your knees. I've never heard such pancreatic cancer. And he's getting treatment. I don't know who's paying for it. Somebody's paying for it. He's not. And we just covet your prayers in a very genuine way for this lovely. To the border.
Yep, right there.
Pretty cool. Okay. Yep. Militia was just staring them down. And it was just such a hatred between these neighboring countries. And kids were eating. We took food with us. We were feeding children literally from under the gate. Oh my goodness, First Church just so supports missions, and we just want to thank you. We couldn't.
We're standing on the bridge over that river that you just saw in the other picture. Probably at least 10, 12 feet tall, and they climbed up the backside, and they were looking for anything that we could give them.
Except our desire to do that. And our plan is in 2 years later, we're going to step forward and go to Uganda. So we have.
We're giving them out to the kids and making that. Well, this mom had taken that cross and she put it in the post out front of her.
This team, they were phenomenal. I went with this team, really, the need last week. Who was immediately at my side? Many others from the church, but my team. Yes. When we were, and she does a ministry with special needs. And so I was meet some of the Dominican pastor that we were with in her community, and she was making arrangements to get those to cross border and take care of these. She's going to come here, and we have funding to be able to fly her up here, and we're going to coordinate with under the United, what is it, UMVIM is United February, and they can share with you truly the heart of the mission that they're in for a lifetime. So
I don't know if anybody else
has
something to say.
I don't know. Any of these young people got something to say?
The most thing that I really enjoy whenever I had breaks, so.
My most, they were the pastor. One was the pastor's daughter, and the other one was her friend, and they was together down there.
Awesome.
Could speak to the kids.
Oh yeah.
Did you speak to them?
Well, yeah, there was there and find out the names of the kids and the age of them and stuff.
Awesome. Hey, there you go. All right.
Mission team that we were working with, their names were, now I'm blank spacing because I don't like talking to people. yeah, there. And look to jump on my translator app and find something, but they're just the great.
My favorite thing was probably the food. Have all the preservatives and crap in it. But the firemen, even though we couldn't speak their language, we could still understand what they were saying.
But this one became Pedro. Adam Peterson became Pedro. No, you don't get to talk again. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, all right.
I just wanted to, I don't know if I can share the way that these people live down there. They were built from scraps of tin, anything that they could use to attempt to be generous in saying they were the size of the bathrooms in the back. And that was for one particular home I was thinking of that we were in. There was like a, almost like a little porch, had a little loft built. And there was a single mattress up there that wasn't loft. And it hung over, it wasn't even, the loft wasn't even big enough for the mattress to fit on. A 6 foot square with about a 18 inch ceiling over their head. Went in to cement these people's homes. They had to clean everything out. Well, an hour to empty one room so they could lay new carpet. These people were able to empty, but she probably wouldn't be able to share it with you. But there was a little girl who she was holding, I think a couple different days, was around where we were working because we were close in the same neighborhood. And this little girl had sores on her arms, on her legs. And I mean, they were open sores. They were, and she was running around in a little bathing suit most of the time, I think, wasn't she? Oh, okay. Well, with not very much on, he was holding her and loving on her. And we were able to ask, or we were able to find out through what communication we could do that goes. But they had a mango tree in their yard. That's what they had, grocery store. You know, so this little girl ate mangoes on a regular basis, even though it caused her these sores, these wounds, because that's all she had. She didn't have another option. There wasn't treatment, wasn't options for these people. And the thing that I came back with, and I've been on a lot of mission trips, our Georgia, the Georgia part of our team, him and I were talking, and where it says that it is easier for, help me out, Pastor. I'm, can't continue that conversation in the idea of how things that we are blessed with to ever realize what it means with nothing but faith in God that you will have something to do today. But they wake up every morning, a lot of the people who, if they're going to have anything, and how difficult it is for us day in and day out with nothing but the faith that God will provide for us. Thank you.
So whenever we really sad to leave them all, and they had just left and we found out our flight got delayed about 4 hours, and we could have spent that time with them because they were at a hotel near us, and we just really missed them a lot.
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you all. Let's give them a hand sharing this morning. That was awesome, guys. Now I want you to remember that, again, they're out here in the fellowship hall to talk with you further so that they could explain, express some of the things that, oh, Mike, you're going to have to push it. I'm not logged in quite right. Okay. But, what a great impact, and you get the chance to talk with them. Now, I just want to wrap up with a few thoughts with the scripture that I think drives us, chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm just quoting the second half of it, where Jesus said about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the of missions, is that we have a mission to go into all of the world and to be able to share with a message that has life and vitality to it. And that's why so many Christian missions means to bless, to help people, because you cannot go with a at the same time being moved with a compassion that says, and I want to help your life. We say we don't truly love at all. And so we love on all of those levels to be able to relate down the road and to go all the way around the world. There was a time that where, in fact, the name of Jesus was not even known. That's less and less the case mission work today, as you realize from our sharing this morning, is going and continuing these various places. So that it's not our primary task to go and members that are there present and helping them with the means that we have, which sometimes, of course, and to equip, where we have a variety of resources like that. But I'll tell you that one of the things that you heard this morning that should make an immense impression upon you and will, I believe, continue to make an incredible impact upon the church in America is this, that what we possess in all sorts of physical resources, knowledge, the ability to train and equip and so forth, they lack, but what they possess is an incredible power in the Holy Spirit to do the work of Christ with a zeal, with a dedication, with a surrenderedness in their lives that we go there and long to possess the fullness of that kind of passionate drive for the gospel and for sharing in faith the power of Jesus Christ. And then missionaries, too, are sending missionaries now to various places in the world, including to what is the secret of being able to possess that kind of an incredible depth possessed in these people who are in other ways impoverished. And so the power of Christ is moving, including the Dominican and Haiti. I was checking this with Cindy this morning. She couldn't decide how long it had been for sure to Dominican. And similarly, in Uganda, Africa, through Kenneth, and I wrote his name down, Hwenki, Mugaya Hwenki. Kenneth, Uganda, because Kenneth, for those of you who didn't know him or don't know him, and a lot of his family, intending to stay and settle here in the state, pursue the American dream. But while he was here, God was to have, she was working for Compassion, but she began to have a compassion for old people. She began to speak to Kenneth about, we need to help some of these people. And God birthed in their lives. Now, we have become a part of that as we have helped launch Kenneth into that ministry. And then we've seen Kenneth not only be blessed of God to build what was not just helping a couple of dear older now, an impacting ministry that continues to grow and expand, is also now in Ethiopia and birth Children Alive Ministries. And Ernest and Elizabeth had no idea. I met Ernest, I met Elizabeth, and those two were connected other than helping to lead Children Alive Ministries. Now they're married. I was just amazed. But if you didn't get the news on that, they got married. And but the two of them, they got married. They lead Children Alive Ministries there in Uganda to grannies and grandpas. And we have been a part of those kinds of ministries. Now let me tell you something about what I believe in relationships with people. And building those kinds of long-term relationships that Cindy could offer a ministry over in Haiti, let me bring the two of you together. What happens when you're building mission work and that outreach, but building relationship where now there's something that is really dramatically impacting. We also get the guidance and the direction of those people as to how can we best support and help that ministry. Send money instead of just parachuting in, doing a quick little thing and out, there is a longevity of connection that's building there. And that's what we want to continue to find. Salvation Army Meals, Free for All, plus many other efforts in our area that we are mindful of this work that Christ has called us to. Let me go ahead and just sum this up and finish out with you this morning. I want to just highlight to you the ways in which you and I service in our active engagement in mission, in outreach beyond this, and what he has done for us, what he can do in their lives, and being able to reach out in that. First thing, and you can look at these four expressions as like a progression if you want to, because there's some progressiveness to it in terms of growing and digging in deeper and deeper in service to Christ. You could plug in. Now, to plug in is this. We as a church, we'll do projects. We'll do ministry outreaches. Every month, one thing, every month, that's an opportunity for us just to plug in. You don't have to create some operation. It's just something you can plug into. And some of the time, hands-on, starting the year off with collecting bed sheets that are going to go to beds, focusing on mustard seed and raising money to actually buy the beds that have those kinds of tangible effects that we get to be a part of. Getting hands-on in it, just like the flood buckets that we collected in September. And now this month, so that we have those kinds of things. Now those are like plug-in kind of opportunities. There's already something happening. If you walk down there, they'll say, well, what can you do? Hanging up clothes or walking around meeting people and things like that. You can just plug in and move on. So that's a plug-in opportunity. Those are valuable, very much are valuable and important. You get to contribute to larger causes in small ways that, but put together as a whole, creates a huge impact. And so those are always valuable and important to grow further than just plugging in. And that would be to take us on to participate with passion. For instance, if you hear about Uganda and Rotem Ministries, and maybe you decide to go a little bit further, and this is still a little bit of a plug-in, but you could go further in taking on a continual commitment to sponsor one of the grannies. You could take on, you brought pictures, cards, just like Compassion Ministry has done for many, many years, monthly committed sponsor. That's going a little bit further and taking it a little bit deeper to take on that kind of an ongoing commitment to a ministry. But I want to challenge us to even to stretch ourselves. You know, some of us, we have the means, we can send the money, and we may be limited physically. But there are many of us that we could go a bit further. We could go a bit further in participating with passion. And this is where, you know, you may get inspired by all of this to say, I really would like to go on a mission trip sometime. Well, you can begin to plan on that, Cindy. And then in 21, to be able to go to Uganda once again to talk with Cindy and Chris, leading our mission outreach focus to say, let me get in. There are a lot of other opportunities, though, that you can go beyond just a plug-in. Passion are the kind of people that they go out with Mike on a delivery call. And nation, next thing you know, they're calling him up and saying, I want to be moving on this thing to help out more and more. And same thing with baby bottle boomerang offering, sorry, for a long time. But you may be saying, I need to toss toward ABC Life Center down here in Franklin to help young, mothers who choice to keep a baby or even to deliver that baby. And there are some of you that you're thinking, man, I wish I could do something relevant. I wish I could do something important or something like that. But you just might be able to go and try out ABC calls the same thing. There are people that go one time, and the next thing you know, they're starting to get going beyond just plugging in to getting a passion for what's happening in my life in this. Now, you could go beyond that, though. You could go on to Hazel Tenney, who leads our free-for-all ministry, telling me about how she, that all of a sudden, she was informed, you're it, you know? And she talked about that, and she said, I couldn't imagine how I got picked from a passionate participation to playing a leading role. I would say I'm making sure. This is where you go from a place where you passionately participate to where you, I'll pick up that banner. There's that sense of I am going to be committed to this through. I want to make sure that nothing happens that this falls through. Role. I want to get engaged in a way that I will make sure that there are hands on deck. And that there are people who are committed to the long haul on it. The question, you know, who are we going to draft next? We want to know that there are people that are sharing in a ministry that have that kind of, not just a passionate participation, make sure that it's seen through. I'm already engaged on a level, and if you think you can't, I want you to think again, because there are people that go even to the next. Now, all of the steps that we've talked about so far, something was already there for you to lend a hand in. Something was already there for you to grow in us, to step out, sometimes way out of our comfort zone, but to happen on a very personal level in your life. Very, very personal level, where it's your league kind of, you know, thing that you're saying, I'm going to change the world. You just congratulate you and say, praise God, that when you do that, even on that one-to-one level, you are engaging in a way that says, I am plunging in to meet a need. And sometimes that's with whatever God calls us to share is who we are and what we have and who we know. And so that you and I can do that, you can do that some days with just a phone call. It can be just as simple as that, as well as something. Magaya Wenki. Responding to a need. That was all it was, to start a program to answer it. He didn't wait for someone else to make it. We think that if we protest If we march, if we a whole lot fewer protesters and a whole lot more people who will plunge in to meet a need. And you are those people, one-to-one, and in ways that God will call you. Look what God has done with Kenneth and what we get the blessing of sharing in. Because he simply stepped out to say, I will plunge in, hold trajectory in his life. From going in the direction to leave that kind of a legacy, God redirected his life entirely simply by calling him. You never quite know when that simple response to, but if God intends it to be bigger, let God make it bigger. I think into the world in one fell swoop. There are a lot of people who get sick. The thing that you and I have to do is be surrendered to God in a way that he can lead us to. Didn't even require that we had something to plug into. Didn't require that someone else already had. Calling us up to help lead what they've already established. A simple reality thing. Let's go do something with that. And you just never quite know. From the one-to-one to the 100-to-1. And it's a mess of grace. Sometimes we don't see the full scope of them because it didn't turn who touched another person who touched another person before it's. But gauge yourself this morning. Those four things. Simple things. Plug in. Are you plugging in? Doing something to plug in. How about moving to that other stage of participating with passion? Are you playing a leading role? Are you rising to a commitment? And is God calling you to plunge in ways in your life that is making the trajectory of your life as a result? Let's take a gauge on that this week. Let's take that measure of it and say, God, how am I growing and how can I grow in you? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? We'll close this morning then as we just seek after the Lord's face. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the many things that we've been able to hear and to share. And thank you, God, that you call us. I'm grateful, God, for every way that we get an opportunity to plug in. For the people who have already established ministries and life that we can just get on board and help them out. And I'm grateful, God, for the way in which you raise people up who just started off plugging in, and then the next thing you know, they're actually getting drafted into something more. And God, we just thank you for that, the way that you perpetuate ministry through the lives of people who didn't intend to do anything but serve you, and that's enough. That, in fact, is what is necessary. And so, Lord, I want to pray that you would call us at the same time to plunge in, to make sure that our day-to-day lives are always this plunge, waiting for you to just let us dive in to meet a need. Maybe in one tiny thing that we do, but Lord, let us be people who are always there plunging in, sometimes out of our comfort zone, some will take care of it, and you, God, will change the trajectory of our lives and make us, Lord, into something that we never expected, but God, in your hands, is glorious. I just want to thank you for calling each of us to follow after you this day in the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me and we'll close in praying the Lord's Prayer together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.